Chapter 25. Seven Plagues. Nightmares return. The enemy speaks. Palace Outworks, Daylight Wall, Section 16, 15th of Quartus. Katsuhiro was still alive. He did not know how. Sometimes he thought he had died and been tossed into some punishing afterlife. He was so ill and tired. When the third line was abandoned, Katsuhiro was ashamed to retreat from it, but it had lost all use as a defensive position. Where clean lines of plascrete ramparts had crossed the land, now there were only heaps of splintered rock sculpted into hillocks and dells by endless bombs, all reeking with the corpses trapped in the ruin. Bastion 16 still stood, but now it was in front of Katsuhiro's position. He felt safer when it was behind him, as if it had his back. Now it was in front. He watched it deteriorate, its guns fall silent, its surface pit and crack. Like the slow death of a valued friend, it filled him with despair. But still Bastion 16 held. Others did not. Their remains lined the battlefield, ugly, rotting teeth in gums brown with decay. A month limped by. If time could get sick, then it did, leaking putrid fluid from every day. One after another, seven plagues swept over the outworks, ravaging the defenders stationed there. First came the running boils, the trench pox and fungal rot, novel diseases that baffled the medicae sent to treat the troops. Red blindness, foaming madness, a plague of insectoid parasites that ate men from the inside, and finally, the humiliating, agonizing death of the bloody flux. Jainan died. So many people died. The few people Katsuhiro knew were gone, save Doromek, who never sickened, and the woman, Miz. He stopped talking to other people, saving his words for tearful monologues to himself that he mumbled into holes in the ground. The enemy kept coming. Often the attackers were the undisciplined rabble they had faced before, but increasingly the merciless, nigh on unkillable legionaries of the Death Guard came against them. The sole time the loyal Space Marines had come out faded from memory. When the Death Guard were driven back, it was by dint of the wall guns, meaningless, short-lived triumphs that came at a terrible cost to the human defenders of the outworks. The Aegis continued to weaken, allowing more of the enemy's ordnance to fall through. Artillery emplacements in the fortifications encircling the palace pounded them incessantly. Poisons and disease fell as often as fire. Toxic environment gear became the defenders' skin. Gas masks took the place of faces. Katsuhiro's company was merged three times with others, until they were a mongrel formation, stripped of the thin pretense they had of being members of the Kushtan Naganda. They were as motley and filthy as the wretches that attacked them. Only the direction they were facing told who was on which side, and that was not enough. Men from both forces broke in the middle of battles, going berserk and attacking anyone around them. Mistakes were common. The nightmares that assaulted Terra in the months before the invasion, gone from Katsuhiro when he reached the palace, crept back into his few hours of sleep. Horrible things, full of mutilations and blood. They were far more real and disturbing than even the traumas of war. One rest period, it might have been the night or the day, the clouds of ash and fire long having removed differentiation from the two, Katsuhiro dreamed such a dream, of endless tunnels of black glass, curved like a beast's intestines, that he ran through in a panic. Something clawed and silent gaining on him. He fell from the tunnel without warning into a sea of violent colours, where toothed hallucinations took on solidity for the sole purpose of tearing him apart, then tumbled through a door made of eyes onto the ruin of the Katabatic Plains. A bloody rain poured, and then from the sky a giant fell, huge and monstrous. Roaring in pain and rage, it came for him, a clawed hand reaching down to snuff out his life. Katsuhiro woke, screaming. No one came to his aid. Everyone had their own demons to wrestle with. When he calmed himself from shrieks to moans and then to sobs, he feared for a moment he might be deaf. He heard nothing but his own sickly breath rattling in the hood of his gas mask. He stood on feeble legs. Hundreds of other soldiers were doing the same, looking across the grey wasteland of the Katabatic Plains in fear. The bombardment had stopped. The heat of the constant explosions, which rose on occasion to heights painful to bear, was carried off by the spring winds, and the temperature dropped rapidly. Poison gas and clouds of viral spores blew away. Katsuhiro felt the breezes caress through the rubber of his tox suit. The wind called to him. For the first time in what seemed forever, he tore off the hood of his gas mask, not caring if he died, and stood gasping like a landed fish. He closed his eyes to enjoy the simple bliss of sweat drying on his skin. Thunder boomed, then roared again. No bomb this time, but a shout, a voice, a presence so large it filled the heavens from horizon to horizon. The sky flashed, and all on the defences looked upwards, and there beheld a terrifying vision.